a lot of people come to me talking about conversion rate, and then when I start looking at their stats with them, they're not getting enough traffic for it even to matter.
You're listening to Thrive by Design, business, marketing, and lifestyle strategies for your jewelry brand to flourish and thrive. Let's get started.
Welcome, welcome, and happy holidays. It's Tracy Matthews here. Welcome to episode number 72 of the Thrive by Design podcast. And of course, as you know, I always say I'm so excited to be here because I'm always excited to be here because I love doing this podcast in general. But I'm even more excited to be here because we pulled in a really amazing expert to talk a lot about building a better brand presence online and offline. And today my special guest is Arianne Folks of aolydia.com. I'm really thrilled to have Arianne on the show today because I know that from years of working with designers, helping them, you know, really up-level their business online and off, branding is a really important thing. And branding, you know, sort of fuses, it's so much more than just a logo. It's your complete online presence, it's your packaging, it's all the visual assets that you have. It's your catalogs and line sheets and stationery and business cards, like pretty much everything that you do that makes your brand a brand. So Arianne's really an expert at visual branding and then also digital branding. So I'm really excited to have her here today to talk a little bit more about how you can build a better brand online, use that online to offline interchange to really make a bigger impact. And then she walks us through some really, really great strategies that are going to help you not only get more traffic, but to think through how you are converting people who actually end up landing on your site and then getting them to buy, and then improving the size of the cart value over time so that you're actually building sales and building your business. And then she's gonna walk us through some of the things that actually are a hindrance and prevent people from buying in the first place, which is really, really great. Really awesome interview. I'm excited to have Arianne here today. Before we dive in though, I would like to take a word from our sponsor, who is Shopify today. So for many, many years, I've been a huge fan of WordPress. In fact, my site has been built in WordPress, and I decided that in 2017 is my year to move over to Shopify as I build a new e-commerce platform for my website. So I love Shopify because it's so easy to use their plugins and add-ons to improve your e-commerce strategy. You know, I love all the apps that they have for abandoned cart sequences, for retargeting, for upsells, for bundling products. It's just a really great platform that makes it really easy for you to do it yourself if you don't have a team. And the best thing that I'm really excited about is that we've negotiated a very special offer with Shopify, a 3-week extended trial and a 10% off discount. So you can save money like a smart business person would do. So if you want to check that out, head on over to flourishthriveacademy.com/Shopify. That's flourishthriveacademy.com/Shopify. All right, let's dive right into the episode. I have a very special guest on the Thrive by Design show today, and I'm really excited to announce her because a lot of times, you know, designers throw up a website, they patch together some branding for their jewelry brand, but it's not totally connected, and they wonder why when people are shopping or buying on their site, their website's not converting. So I'm really, really excited to have Arianne Folks here of Aolydia to teach us a little bit more about how we can create better overall branding for our jewelry brands, but then also to create websites that drive people towards the sale. So when people are landing on your website, they know what to do next. So Arianne, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Tracy. I have got a lot of thoughts on this topic.
I know that you do, which is really exciting. And that's especially why I wanted to bring you on today. And I'm going to do a little bit of more of a formal intro in a moment. Arianne and I connected a couple months ago. I'd heard about her for a long time. Like, I feel like years, like designers in our community were like, oh, you should check out Aolydia and have them on the show. Or, you know, your name just kept coming up and it kept coming up. And then finally I was at lunch with one of our designers and she said, hey, I think she might be working with you. I'm not exactly sure, but she's like, hey, I really love Aolydia. I think I'm going to have them move my site over to Shopify. You should definitely talk to Arianne. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. So that's sort of like how we got introduced. And then I did a Q&A in your group a couple of weeks ago, which was super fun. And I'm excited to have you on the Thrive by Design podcast today. So thanks again for being here.
Wonderful.
All right. So Ariane Folks is the captain and founder of Aolydia, a web and graphic design studio that's been working with creative shops since 2004. Aolydia serves those early stages on their path with an informative blog and a supportive community, and meets established businesses at that tipping point where strategic design can be transformative and cause exponential growth. I am so excited to have you here because I think that's what everyone needs, is that really solid branding and design look that gets them to the next level.
Right.
So I'm curious, where did the name Aolydia come from?
So I was at school, UC Santa Cruz, go Banana Slugs, and it was my first introduction to the internet, really, and we had to sign up for a username, and somehow, even though it was 1996, I couldn't find any combination of my name that worked. So I was at school for marine biology, and I chose the scientific name of a sea slug as my login name, and then that just kind of felt like my handle for years. And when I started the business, I just continued using it. It's a little hard to pronounce, but there's nothing else like it.
In fact, I was pronouncing it incorrectly for a long time, and I'm so glad that you corrected me before the interview. That's so funny. I lived in San Francisco for a long time. I had a lot of friends who went to UC Santa Cruz. I totally know the banana slugs. Awesome.
It's a laid back place.
So you spoke about being at Santa Cruz. Tell me a little bit about your journey and sort of what got you to doing all this amazing branding today.
So that is where it all started, because we had access to the computer lab, and I had never had a computer growing up. I had a friend with a computer, and we would play SimCity and stuff like that. But I didn't have a lot of experience with the internet or anything like that. So I ended up making a GeoCities website and learning how to change the background color and the font and make graphics in Photoshop. And I was totally hooked, and I did that all the time just as a hobby and for fun. And then friends started noticing that I had this skill, and they were like, hey, could you make a website for my band or my record label or whatever thing they had going on?
It's so Santa Cruz,
totally. So I was just there making websites for friends, like helping them write about when their band was going to be on tour and stuff like that. And for me, it was just fun, and I wasn't even really thinking about getting paid, although sometimes we would like trade for stuff. And then I ended up having a friend who actually ran an online shop, like somebody who was actually making money, unlike bands and record labels. I was like, wait, maybe this actually could become a business somehow. And so that was before Etsy began. And I got into a circle of people who were doing Etsy type crafts and selling them. And e-commerce was very different back then.
Yes, it was. I remember it very well.
So I got in there and just started messing around and figured out how to make a shopping cart work. And I ended up working with a lot of different creative businesses, and, you know, just from my couch. And I hardly charged anything at the beginning. And it's just kind of evolved from there. So we used to work with people who are brand new too, and now we meet people more in like a middle stage of their business where they're seeing some success, but they want to take it to the next level kind of thing.
I love that. So we all know that, maybe we don't all know, but the two of us know that solid branding is really important for any product-based business, but especially for people in the jewelry business. I feel like it's a luxury item in a lot of cases, and that unboxing process is really, really important. What are some of the best ways to brand your business online and then also conversely offline?
So we like to think about branding as telling the story about your business and telling it to the right person. Like, those are the two most important things. So when a new client comes to us and we're going to work on their branding, we want to make sure that they totally understand who their target customer is, because we can't design for everybody in the world. We have to design for the one person who's going to be most interested in what it is they're selling. And so we spend a lot of time working on that, like getting all the way down to what hobbies their target customer might have, all the nitty gritty. And then we want to tell the story. So we work really hard with people on figuring out what is unique about their business, like what makes it totally different from even their closest competitor. Because if the business owner can't describe how their business is different or special, or why you would want to buy from them instead of somebody else, then we have a really hard time trying to make a unique brand that's going to work for them. So those are the two things. Those are like the foundation that we think of when we start working on branding. And then you know, without knowing that, you're going to be having a hard time with all the other parts of it.
Exactly.
So once we've nailed that down, then we know who we're talking to and what to do. And I think online, when you're working on your branding, every time you're going to post something to social media or add something to your website or do anything that people are going to see at all, you need to think back to that story you're telling and make sure it makes sense. So, you know, if you're selling really luxurious, beautiful jewelry, like throwing in pictures of your bulldog might be fun for you, but maybe it's not going to make sense on Instagram for you to be putting that kind of stuff on there.
That's what Instagram stories is for.
Right. There you go. To do the more personal stuff, less on brand. Totally. And then offline, especially if you sell online, I think your packaging experience should definitely meet or exceed the expectations you've been setting with your branding online. So if people see just this truly luxurious professional face online, and then they get a package from you and it's just in a plain craft bubble mailer or something like that, that's not going to be the exact look that you've been going for. So just kind of making sure both the online and offline sync up and make sense together and totally work for your target customer and are telling the story that you want to tell at all times, then you're, you know, you've got it made.
I love that. Telling the story that you want to tell all the time. It's great. So what are some of your favorite branding ideas that are actually working right now? Because things are changing so rapidly. And I was just listening to a podcast this morning, even about how social media is changing so much and how social media strategy needs to completely change. So what are some of the things that you've seen changing a lot as far as the branding perspective goes?
Right. Well, we've touched a bit on the unboxing experience, and I think that gets more and more important all the time because it's so easy for things to seem impersonal when you're online, if you're not in a store and you can't, you know, pick it up and hold it and see how it's going to look. So really putting that personal touch out there. And if you're a jewelry designer, you know, people should know a bit about you. I mean, you're not Tiffany's, you're not just a faceless corporation, you're an artist, you're an artisan. So people want to know what's so interesting about the person who made their jewelry or what the story is behind each piece. So I think all that is really important when you're writing product descriptions. I also think, so as far as technology on your website, we've been looking into different ways for people to really experience the brand and feel like, you know, as best as you get right to the showroom experience. So we've been seeing a lot more people doing like maybe those 360 degree video views where you can look at all sides of a piece, which is very interesting. And like definitely you're going to want to show your jewelry on a model so people can get a feel not only for what size it is and how it looks on a person, but it kind of helps them imagine owning it themselves. So a lot of the online shopping experience is making people imagine what you sell in their life, like imagine wearing the earrings and imagine how it would look to have the necklace on. So we work on that kind of stuff with our clients a lot.
I love that. Okay, cool. Yeah, it's like creating that brand experience, you know, so that they feel, you know, it's so funny. I don't know why this just came up, but I dropped a piece of jewelry off this morning to a client and I was like running up after my bar class to I'm friends with her now, so I felt okay, like, showing up in my sweats with, like, sweaty hair. But you know, I'm, like, dropping it off, and, you know, she's like, oh, honey, I don't need that box anymore. I've unboxed so many of your pieces already. And I look at her hands, and she has, like, four of my rings on and, like, one of my bracelets and puts another one on. I'm like, snap, like, this is, you know, it's just, like, that's the experience you want, like, someone who's just, like, excited and wearing your stuff all the time. And, you know, I thought it was funny that she's like, I don't even need the box anymore.
Right. She totally gets your whole thing already. She doesn't need to be convinced.
Kind of a random thing. But so, you know, gosh, I mentioned it earlier, like even social media marketing is changing, like how websites are built are changing so quickly and what's actually working on a website. I saw someone the other day post an article about how sliders aren't working anymore. So much is changing all the time. So what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see designers make when they're building an online presence?
Well, one thing about making a website now as opposed to 10 years ago is that it can be really easy. Like you actually can set up a pretty professional looking website all by yourself in a weekend. So, you know, things are a lot better than they used to be. When I first got started, you really did need to have professional technical help to make a website because there weren't like themes out there that were already designed. You know, there wasn't any out of the box beautiful stuff ready to go. So I do think that using a theme is a great way to start. So we use Shopify And Shopify has a whole design theme store where you can purchase themes, and they might be free. They might be a couple hundred bucks at the most, I think. So it's a really easy way to get started. I think the mistake that I see people make when they're trying to set it up themselves and use a theme is either choosing a theme that's not going to work for your content. So if you see a beautiful website design theme that's got gigantic photography on the front page and you don't have any gigantic, beautiful photography, that's just not going to look good for you and you're going to struggle.
Exactly.
Yep. Or like if something that features video and you don't have video, or maybe something that heavily promotes your blog posts and you don't blog that often. So when I give people advice on how to choose a theme, I say think about what you actually have first. Like think about what content you have, what do you have written, what kind of photos do you have, and then see if it's going to work for you. And then another place I see people kind of make a mistake is the themes are designed to work for a lot of businesses, so you know it's not going to be super specific to you, but they look pretty good as is. And so if you don't consider yourself like a graphic or a web designer, I recommend that you don't try and change too much about it, because the more you fiddle and tweak with it, the sillier and sillier it's going to look, and then you lose the professional look that you started out with there. And then, so that's for beginners. And then for established businesses, I think the biggest mistakes I see, and you've already kind of touched on this, about how quickly things change and how much technology changes and social media. I see a lot of people set up a website, maybe they paid big money for it or something, and they feel like now they're done. And you just can't be done on the internet. So I see a lot of sites, even from really big, impressive retailers that maybe aren't really mobile friendly, even in this day and age when half their shoppers are on a phone. It blows my mind every time I see a site that doesn't work on a phone. It's like, if you look at your stats, it's probably going to be 50% mobile shoppers and they can't really do anything on there.
I know. So I hate it when you're like scrolling over and then you're like expanding. I'm like, just trying to put my email address in. I only have 5 minutes to do this.
Right? Or you're like tapping and stretching and nothing's working.
So yeah. Annoying.
It's not good. So, just being too slow to react to changes in technology and not realizing when your site is starting to look outdated, because we work with a lot of businesses that are really busy with maybe wholesale accounts or, you know, they're doing a lot of stuff and their website doesn't feel like the most important piece of it. And I've seen it get really neglected. So we like to jump in with people who maybe have not been focusing on that and then go ahead and make that a focus.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I can totally relate. When I had my first jewelry business, Tracy Matthews Designs, like we had this website set up and this was before there were so many options, you know, you didn't have as many options back then. And it was set up in a platform that was just not really meant for what we were doing. And we spent so much money getting that site up and it just wasn't a priority. And so we were like, our website started to look so outdated. And I was just like, only 5% of our sales are really coming from direct to consumer. Do I invest the money now? And I'm sure, you know, back then I would have had way better website conversions if I had focused on building a better website. And I mean, now I know how important it is. And that's, you know, I get tons of traffic for my custom jewelry design from my website. And it's that luxury feel and always updating it has been really important over the last, you know, 6 or 7 years. I feel like I'm doing a redesign almost every, I would say on average, like every year and a half or 2 years just to like freshen it up.
Yeah, that sounds totally reasonable to me. And I like to remind people that even if you don't make a lot of sales online, you still have a lot of people researching what you do online. And it's the big impression of your business. So maybe your wholesale accounts are checking out what product lines you have available right now. And if it looks old or clunky or it's not fitting with your story, that can turn them off from buying from you. So it's something to consider.
Absolutely. So I want to get into like a little bit more specific details. A lot of designers really struggle or complain about converting traffic. And like you said, you know, a lot of times people are researching you online and maybe they're not necessarily going to buy online. So having a really great website is still important regardless. But they're for direct to consumer, they're really struggling to convert buyers or potential buyers who are landing on their site into sales. So what do you think some of the biggest missed opportunities are that you see brands making consistently? And also, I think this is like another, like sort of the flip side of, so the mistakes that they're making, but then also how can they tweak that to get better conversions and drive people more to sales?
Yeah, so I see three pieces to the online sales puzzle. So a a lot of people come to me talking about conversion rate. And then when I start looking at their stats with them, they're not getting enough traffic for it even to matter. So number one is to increase traffic to your site. Number two is to increase your conversion rate. And number three is to increase your average order value. And these are all super important ways to be making more money online.
Yeah.
Like the ideal would be if you could work on all three of them at once, but you know, they're all big projects with different things you need to be doing. So the first thing I usually talk to people about is how to get traffic to your site in the first place, because it really doesn't matter how good your conversion rate is if you only have your mom visiting your site.
I know, right? Seriously.
Yeah. So I figured out there are only five ways to get traffic to your website. So number one is your SEO strategy, which is your search engine optimization. So you want to get a high ranking in Google for your keywords, but it's going to be super hard for you to show up as number one if people type in jewelry. So there's not really any point even trying that. So you want to find niche keywords, like the long tail keywords that are really specific to what you do. So for example, instead of jewelry or necklaces, you want to rank highly in Google for maybe mother-daughter jewelry, if that's what you do that's special, or ocean-inspired jewelry, you know, whatever your very specific thing is. Your number two thing is social media, not only posting yourself, but making sure that your website makes it easy for people to share your work. So maybe having pin it buttons on your photos or some kind of sharing method, or just making sure that your photos are big and beautiful and interesting enough to want to share, which is going to help you in lots of ways. Number three is getting press and publicity online. So like on blogs and in gift guides and that kind of thing. And that usually comes down to pitching your product to people or hiring a PR company. You also want to think about number four, your return visitors, and that is usually your mailing list, is where you're taking care of those people and getting them to come back and continue shopping. But it can also be about your unboxing experience or including some kind of promotional postcard in your order, things that make people want to come back and shop again. And then the fifth way to get traffic to your site is less of a big deal one, but offline stuff, such as being in print publications like magazines, or attending in-person events that might be trade shows or markets or conferences even. And being in a brick and mortar shop can end up bringing people back to your site, either your own shop or being sold in other people's shops, because you might have information on your jewelry cards or something that have people come back to your site to figure out what you're doing.
I want to mention something like that. You know, one of my friends owns a really reputable store here in New York, and she has a store in Brooklyn and in Nolita. And she says it's so annoying because, like, you know, it's so competitive these days because people just pull out their phone and see if they can find something for less money online. So people are just like Googling designers all the time. So you need your, and this is like just like sort of a secondary thing, but you also need to be thinking about this. You can't, like, if you're wholesaling, you can't compete with your retailers and have lower prices than they're actually selling it for. If you want to keep building a wholesale business, like, you need to set like a standard, like a MSRP or like a standard rate that, like, that everyone across the board is selling at, which I think is really important.
You don't want to be competing with your retailers.
No, definitely not, because they can really be the ones who grow your business if you're in the right stores. So
yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for sharing that. So I interrupted you, but so that was the first thing to increase traffic. So SEO strategy, your social media strategy, and then also having images on your site that can easily be shared.
Yeah.
Press and PR online, and then nurturing those return visitors, maybe with a postcard or even like maybe, you know, an email nurture sequence that goes out after the order is shipped. And then offline strategies for people finding you offline in either brick and mortar stores or at trade shows or events, et cetera.
Right.
Cool.
So once you have traffic, you can start worrying about your conversion rate, because it's really going to be hard to tell if your rate is good or bad when you're not getting that many people there. So the cool thing about your conversion rate is this is just the amount of people that convert from lookers into buyers. So let's say you're getting 20 sales a day now that you're getting good traffic to your site, and maybe you have a 2% conversion rate. If you could adjust your site or your marketing to boost your conversion rate up to 6% instead of 2%, that 20 sales becomes 60 sales a day without you having to go out and find more people to visit the site, which is obviously a wonderful thing that you want to do. So same amount of traffic and a lot more sales, just depending on how good your website is. So the important things there are, a lot of people, when they think about conversion rate, they think about their website. But one place that's really important to think about conversion rate is where you're getting the people who are visiting your website. So if you're advertising on Facebook or something, and it's all going to maybe younger millennials, but your jewelry is more in tune with like a luxury older audience, you're not going to get a great conversion rate because when they pop over to your site, it's not really going to mesh with what they want and they're going to disappear. So the first part of your funnel, finding people to visit your site, is a really important one in terms of conversion rate. So we have one client that we worked with last year, and they sell soap, and they mostly sell at farmers markets locally. And we looked at their conversion rate, and it was just insanely high. I think they had an 18% conversion rate when 2 to 3% is common. That's the average. So they had 18%, and it was because the only people visiting their site were their true fans. So they hadn't really gone out there in the world yet to try and find new people. Mostly they had return visitors there and shoppers that knew them in person. So really getting the right group of people to visit your site is going to get you a high conversion rate.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then, I feel like I just was about to interrupt what you...
No, you're cool.
Okay. From a design perspective, is there anything that you think can be done when someone actually lands on your site? Sometimes I'm like, you know, doing like website reviews for people, just like telling them some things that they can tweak or whatever. Just in my experience, even looking at it. And sometimes there's things that are so obvious that like could really help because there's no strong calls to action on the homepage. Like, they have an about page that doesn't tell someone where to go next. It just sort of ends and doesn't connect with the customer. I mean, there's like so many things that you could do to drive traffic, but from a design or to get people to take the next step, I guess is the better way to put it. Is there anything that you're seeing design wise or from a like functionality wise purpose that is really working right now to get to increase conversions, like once you kind of have that traffic?
Definitely. And a lot of what's working now is what has always been working. So, you know, it is important to get the right people coming to your site. But even if you have the perfect people coming to your site, if your site isn't doing the work it needs to do to turn them into customers, you're still in trouble.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a lot of things that you can do. And so I have some things related to usability and user friendliness, which maybe are not so much design oriented, but they're really important, which is when you set up your own shop, I would definitely recommend that when you're done and you're ready to launch it, or even if you've already launched it and you're wondering why you're not doing as well as you should be, you should go through your site like a customer and pretend you're shopping and go all the way to the cart and all the way through checkout and order something and make sure there's nothing there that's going to slow people down or confuse them or stop them. You might find that there's some glitchy little thing in your checkout that you just weren't aware of because you haven't bothered to go through the whole thing. And another thing we recommend people do is they're so close to their site, if they've been building it themselves, it's hard to see what's confusing and what's not. So if you can have a friend sit down next to you and go through your site with you and just sort of talk aloud about the choices she's making and what she's wondering about, that could be a great way to fix things that are a little confusing on the site.
Awesome.
Yeah. And you want to make sure that your site content is straightforward. So we find people try and put cutesy names in as maybe their category name sometimes. So instead of putting baubles, we would say just put jewelry. Just make it really obvious so people aren't going to get confused. If you're going to sell stuff for children, write children or kids. Don't write minis or petite or some little thing that you think is quirky and fun because you don't want people to get confused. So
exactly.
Yeah. So you want your product descriptions to be informative, but just plain informative is boring. So you also want to be telling a little story there that helps people imagine your jewelry in their life. You want to have social proof on your site. That's the one that's becoming pretty important. So if you can't have reviews on there, you could maybe include testimonials. When somebody writes you could ask if it's okay to put a testimonial on there. If you have maybe a hashtag that people use on Instagram, you could display that on your site so people can see other people are shopping your jewelry and they're interested in it and what they like about it. So that's a great way to get people to feel like, oh, everybody else is buying this. I want to buy it too. One mistake I see people make is their site can look really out of date. So for instance, if you do have a blog on your site and maybe it's featured on the homepage, but you haven't posted anything for 4 or 5 months, a visitor could show up and just feel like,
you're not around.
Are they still running the shop? Are they on vacation? Is there something I should know? So just, you know, making sure it looks like you're actually there and you're ready to ship stuff out is really important.
Don't have like fall 2015 on the website when it's like fall 2016.
Exactly.
Or in the spring. Like, make sure that you're on a regular like refresh schedule for the new seasons.
I would not want to type my credit card number in any place that looked a year old, that's for sure.
No.
And then another huge thing is your shipping price. So that's where you lose so many people because in their mind, they've kind of decided, like if they see that your earrings cost $75. They've thought to themselves, can I afford $75 for these earrings? Is it worth it? And they go, yes, yes, I can. And then if they get to check out and it adds another $10 on there, maybe they can't anymore. You know, they've already kind of set that price in their mind. So it's definitely interesting to think about having maybe a threshold where you'll do free shipping, or if there's a way that you can ship your items less expensively. That's definitely a place where the research has shown over and over that you lose people. So it's worth thinking about.
Oh, that's great to hear.
You know, you can get creative on websites, but e-commerce is a really bad place to get creative because people are used to things being a certain way. And if you try and do something fun or different, you're going to lose some people.
Yes, exactly. Especially in the shopping cart stage of it.
Yeah.
There was something else I wanted to ask. So you could even have your return and exchange policy and your shipping policy on each product description just linked or in a dropdown. And then it's right there. And then people just make it as easy as possible so people know.
Yeah, it's all about making people feel comfortable.
That's awesome. Awesome. All right. Is there anything else that you want to add?
You know, I could talk about this all day, but I think I covered the major
stuff.
Then. Yeah.
I'm going to have you back then. We can have another discussion about it. I love it. Well, so thank you so much for being here, Ariane. And I just wanted to let everyone know where they can find you.
Okay, so we are at aolidia.com, and that's AEOLIDIA.com. If you go to the free help page on our site, you can subscribe to our newsletter where I send all our very best tips for improving your conversion rate and making your site sell better and all that good stuff. And we also have a Facebook group where product-based business owners get together and chat about stuff like shipping and setting up their LLC and all the nitty gritty of how to do sales and what you should be doing over the holidays and all that fun stuff.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing and thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you so much. It's been fun.
Wasn't that a great show? I know. It was awesome, right? So thank you so much for listening today. As usual, make sure you check out our sponsor. Make sure you check out Ariane over at Aolidia. And on an ending note, I just want to wish you an amazing holiday season, the rest of the holiday season. Chillax, do something nice for yourself, you know, step back a little bit, evaluate, get ready for 2017, because I hope for you that is really the best year ever. It's going to be an amazing year. And if you take some of these tips that you learned today, you're going to have an awesome year. If you love what we're doing here, we'd love for you to share it. So share it in your online communities. Share it in the forums that you are a part of. Share it with your friends who are jewelry designers and makers. We would love to have them listening to the podcast and love to invite them to the community. So thank you so much for being here today. Until next time, it's Tracy Matthews signing off.